Thank you, Mr. Vice Chair. South Africa actually requested the floor to cover two issues. So I'm just briefly going to, we thought it was actually important to highlight the revisions that have been made on the recent paper that we submitted, and just to also cover a couple of comments that were made. So I'll just, in the interest of time, I'm not going to cover everything. I think everybody here is aware about the South African proposal on a set of voluntary guidelines to assist the state party when submitting a request for assistance. So we did submit a revised paper, which is working paper number 7. Now, the substance and context of the paper has primarily remained the same. The only revision, well, the main revision that we included in the paper that was submitted to the PrepCom was to include the language that was agreed to at the 8th review conference, which further emphasizes the humanitarian nature of this article, and which also allows BW state parties to provide assistance pending decision by the Security Council. So we thought that it was actually important to include such language in our paper, which is the main, the main change that has been made. I'm not gonna go and quote the text in the interest of time, but we believe that hopefully now there's an understanding between BWC state parties that we can actually provide assistance pending consideration of the request by the Security Council, or rather pending a decision by the Security Council based on the language that was agreed to at the 8th review conference. And this now promotes the provision of timely emergency assistance, which is something that all state parties here actually have always been called for. Now, what we also highlighted in the paper is to say that state parties here are aware of the different options that are included in the paper, but we just want to highlight that regardless of the route that a state party decides to use or to follow to request assistance, we still believe that it's important that there's additional information that is provided with the request. We think that it would actually help with the consideration of the request. And it'll provide donor countries with sort of a better understanding of what is actually happening on the ground. And if there's a better understanding of what is happening, then the chances are that assistance would be provided quickly. Because at the end of the day, we don't know how the request is going to be made, or how actually, what information the requesting state party might include in such a request. It can just be a general request that says that we suspect that we've been, we are under biological weapon attack, we're going through such an outbreak and we require assistance. So we think that if donor countries are going to provide assistance, there's a need to provide additional information on what is actually happening on the ground. But we also want to emphasize the voluntary nature of those guidelines. So ultimately, it is the prerogative of the requesting state party to decide which route they want to follow to request assistance, and also if they want to provide the additional information. Even if they decide that they want to use the guidelines as indicated in our paper, they actually not obliged to provide information on all the issues that are there. So that is another thing that is actually included in our paper. So during our intervention, we've always highlighted that the guidelines are voluntary, but now we've included the voluntary wording in the paper. So the paper now, the main amendments or revisions that have been made, it was to include the 8th review conference language and also to clearly stipulate the voluntary nature of the guidelines. And ultimately, Mr. Chair, we were just trying to provide guidance that would assist with the consideration of the request. And if there's better consideration on it, that now promotes the timely emergency, provision of timely emergency assistance, which has been called for by everyone. So that's just a brief introduction of the changes that have been made, or the revisions that have been made in the paper. Then now, Mr. Chair, if you can, Mr. Vice Chair, sorry, if you can allow me, I'd also like, let me first start by, of course, thanking the distinguished delegate of Brazil for the comments that they made on the paper. We always appreciate comments on the paper. But I just want to state what our thinking was on the two areas or the two paragraphs that they highlighted. So under paragraph 12, where it says that the state party remains primarily responsible for the healthcare of its population. So there, we just wanted to highlight that we are not saying that it is the state party is the state party is responsible for all activities relating to building capacity or strengthening its healthcare systems, but it bears the sole responsibility. But of course, it can request assistance from other state parties if they want to strengthen its healthcare systems. So that is the point that we're trying to make under there. And also, Mr. Vice Chair, under the issues of sampling, what we were trying to say in there is that these other areas that I highlighted, actually, command and control and issues about sampling, they're not part of the guidelines, but they're just issues related to response that we think they're also important to consider, so they don't hamper actually the receipt or provision of assistance. The same thing applies with the handling of samples. So the point there was to say that you need to consider whatever national legislation that you have in place related to samples. So how are you going to handle samples? And if there's going to be a requirement to actually export samples, then all those institutions need to know and comply with relevant national legislation. I think in the interest of time, Mr. Vice Chair, I will stop there. Thank you.